going.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So yeah, the On Record podcast. Happy New Year to everyone. Thank you guys for listening in the past, however many months it's been so far. Obviously, not the best way to enter the new year with another lockdown being announced. But yeah, this week we're joined by Micah. Say yo.
What's up, everyone?
Cool. Yeah, so basically this week we were going to talk about kind of the lockdown situation, but we thought kind of pretty much every week we speak on this because Boris Johnson's announcing some dumb new rule every week. A new tier is being announced, that kind of thing. Yeah, so in light of kind of recent news in terms of the murder in Reading, we want to talk a little bit about that and kind of how people's reactions have been to what happened there. So yeah, basically a bit of backstory. I think I probably won't explain this very well because I'm not like an expert on what this case was, but basically it was a 13-year-old. Four 13-year-olds have murdered a
13 as well, I think.
Another 13-year-old in Reading. I swear, Luke, I think you told me as well it was in quite like a nice area of Reading as well.
Yeah, it's meant to be like it's meant to be like the posh part of Reading, I suppose, North Reading, but I suppose like obviously like everywhere you have all like posh parts of every section, but like that's just meant to be known for like it's in between like two posh areas, I suppose. So
it's not what you'd imagine, I guess, for a stabbing like that in that way as well to happen.
I think like stabbing's a bit mad in Reading, full stop, isn't it? Like I mean, it probably does happen, but you don't really hear about it like as often.
Yeah.
So, I think the last stabbing before this was obviously the terrorist attack in the park, isn't it?
To be fair, before we say anything else, obviously rest in peace to the young man that's lost his life. Obviously that's very tragic. But yeah, we're just gonna talk a little bit on that. So obviously Luke, from you wouldn't expect that to happen where it was, but just add a bit of context into that before we kind of go into what we wanted to discuss regarding that. It was something like his girlfriend set him up. He was sending nudes to other men or other kids, I guess. And then he caught her, and then subsequently what's happened is she set him up to be attacked by these four other boys that she knows. Is that right?
Yeah, I think, well, to be fair, that's from like what I'm hearing online, in it is I've seen the messages saying, oh, my boyfriend pissed me off recently, I just need someone to stab him, I also don't want him to die, but like stab him in the hand, teach him a lesson. Like, I think, I don't know if you've seen it, but it was like the Snapchat thing.
It's
supposedly sent out, in it. So that's what I've seen personally, but to me it's a bit mad.
Okay. Yeah, so backstory is his girlfriend has set him up to be, I think what it was meant to be was some kind of push him, scare him a little bit, but not obviously what happened. But kind of what we wanted to speak on today is kind of the reaction that's come from that. I think, to be honest, like there was two stabbings on New Year's Eve, actually, in, I think it was Northwest London, maybe. Didn't receive anywhere near as much news coverage as this has done, obviously, because I know it's in an area where I guess you wouldn't kind of imagine it's happened normally.
Yeah.
But kind of the way, I'd say not just the media, but also kind of social media, which in this is kind of day and age, is just probably as important as the media in some sense. The way that I've seen a lot of people on social media kind of portray it is like it's being completely blamed on like drill music, and almost I would say blamed on the black community, that kind of black, I guess, inner city culture, that kind of thing. So that's where I kind of wanted to bring you and Micah to kind of, I saw you tweet a little bit about this earlier, kind of your thoughts on the way that people have reacted to this incident.
Yeah, it's interesting because I actually didn't know a lot about what happened. I only really saw the reaction on social media. So I thought the reaction was quite interesting, mainly because, first of all, it's obviously two very young people, 13, 14 years old, ridiculously young people, barely even teenagers. But also the discourse was strange around it because I think there was some pictures of their... there's pictures of him like throwing up gang signs, and he was wearing like a tech fleece. And instantly the discussion went straight to drill. And usually when these like conversations happen, it's because like two black kids have killed each other in London, or two black kids have killed each other in Manchester or something. But like this, to me, like I was so confused when I saw when I saw the discussion and then I saw what the discussion was about, I was like, how did, like, I feel like we've put two and two together and got like 500 here. How have we got to this like conversation? So I think people were kind of saying, weren't they, that does drill have an influence on young people? Which, I mean, I don't know what you guys' thoughts are on that. Do you think?
I think obviously I don't think it's fair, especially kind of he's not even from where you'd normally associate drill to be from. But I don't think it's. I think people. The thing that was worrying for me as well. I haven't really tweeted anything about this or kind of put my thoughts out on this at all yet. But what kind of shocked me is that it kind of the narrative of drill almost. From what I've seen on my social media platforms anyway, it's kind of from black people. So it's kind of as if we've almost like self-conditioned ourselves in this sense to kind of think, oh, this must be because of what we've done, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or this because of drill music, when really I don't believe it really has had much, if that makes sense. I don't really believe, I don't know how you, as I said, how can you blame something that happens in inner cities with, do you know what I mean? Like it's complete, drill music has nothing to do with this.
Yeah, to add on that, I haven't like actually seen any other race than black people saying drill music. Most person I think I saw saying it was like I don't know if he actually said it. I think Lippy was like the one saying like, "Oh, it's mad like the ages they are," and then I saw other people saying like, "Oh, it must be drill music." I'm a bit like you guys. I don't quite get how a music scene can affect lead to a whole stab, and if that makes sense. So I get like drill's meant to be a bit aggressive, but. Like, I don't get how you can then blame that on a whole situation, to be honest.
I don't get how, and it's not even, because normally when these things happen, it's because like Piers Morgan or like one of them guys has like tweeted something or said something on Good Morning Britain. But it's like, the thing is, we kind of just took this as like a community. We just kind of took this upon ourselves just to like blame like
ourselves. Drugs. Yeah.
Yeah. Like why?
Why? I think I've seen, like, I was kind of watching, I think someone reposted an Akala video that kind of probably everyone's seen a million times on him on Channel 4 News, talking about how race is a factor in kind of a lot of murders that happen in London, when really it's not really anything to do with that when you actually look at the figures and how many kind of black kids are killing each other per year or that kind of thing. And I think it's interesting because the way that it's kind of been... As we've kind of taken it upon ourselves to blame ourselves, I guess, for this, drill's suddenly something that black people have brought to this country, and now this is what kids in the suburbs are now doing to each other.
Yeah.
The way he's dressed up and the way that what he's done is completely out of his own choice. I don't really believe that has anything to do with kind of drill music or why or you know inner kids. Something I also saw that I found quite interesting as well is that someone. Talked about kind of the fetishization of kind of inner city culture or black kids in inner cities by kind of white suburban kids, which I quite like to hear people's views on in terms of like it's a fetishization the way he was dressing before this happened and the way if you look at the pictures what do you guys think about that and kind of how he's kind of taken that upon himself?
For me, again, I don't think it really makes a difference because I get the idea of fetishizing like inner city, like the struggles from inner city, but as opposed to like how he's dressing, like how he's posing in those pictures, I don't think that's too distant to how you'll see like any other kid that listens to that sort of music, like hangs out with the sort of people he probably hung out with. Do you know what I mean? Like what we were probably doing at like 13, 14 would be very similar to like what he's doing, just following like the popular culture now. So I don't know if that's the fetishized part. I get like he might have thought, oh, I get the idea of fetishizing like other struggle. Like when people go into like rap music and stuff, they automatically always say they had a struggle, even if like you'll see people saying like, oh, their parents come out and be like, nah, you never had that struggle, so I don't know why you're now making out like you did. But yeah, I don't think like from the images you're seeing, I think he's just trying to be like cool, do you know what I mean? Like, and if for him cool being cool is what the inner city kids are doing, I don't think it's too dissimilar. Because you can't forget also like Reading, like I suppose where you guys are, like Kent and stuff, isn't too far from London, so it's just a natural overflow of like what's happening in London is probably going to happen in these sort of areas. So I don't think, I don't know if that fetish size works for like that situation in regards to how he's dressing and like the decisions he's made. Because ultimately, I feel like tech police is just quite a big thing now. I see it all over like the timeline and stuff. So if that's what everyone's telling you is popular now, It's just like saying go and get a pair of Jordans if when that was popular. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying a little bit, but when I think that the whatever I saw that tweet as well, Henry. Whatever that guy was saying, I think that's the more important part of the conversation. So we're all around this. I'm not sure how old you are, Luke, but 22, 23 years old, like mostly. So we all kind of grew up. We went to school kind of like in the height of like austerity. So like we went to school when the Tories were cutting like youth clubs and social clubs and after school clubs. So seeing that firsthand and going to a school where if I just give you just like a little bit of my background, all my friends at school were black. Pretty much all my friends at school were black. I went to a very white school. So I think I was only like one or two people like in my class regularly that were black. So because of that, it was kind of interesting to see how austerity kind of affected a lot of like white kids in our class. So for us mostly, I would say black culture hasn't really changed a lot, or our culture, I should say, hasn't really changed a lot. It's just like naturally evolved over the years. So in the noughties, you kind of had like baggy clothes and Air Forces and whatnot. Now we've kind of progressed to like you said, tech fleeces and whatever else we're wearing now. With the white kids in my school, when I started school, I remember the big thing was Hollister. Like, do you remember when people were wearing like them stripy Hollister tees and stuff? Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Hollister, and like people was wearing their colored Vans and chinos and stuff. And then by the time I finished school, by the time I finished sixth form, everybody was wearing tech fleeces, or everybody had on their vintage Nike or their vintage Adidas. And it's funny watching how culture changed, and it's funny watching how, like, now, I mean, pop culture has always been influenced by black culture to a degree, but now, like, pop culture and black culture are almost one and the same. Now, I'm not saying that's why that kid did what he did at all. I don't think that's why that kid did what he did at all. But the problem is, we're living in a world now, and I go back to the austerity point, where for the first time in history, white people are not going to be as well off as their kids financially. Statistics show that. The life expectancy of white people is dropping for the first time in history in this country and the United States. That's never happened before. So as much as to us, that doesn't really seem like struggle, because we put up with decades of oppression and racism and whatnot for years and years. For these like young white kids, they're looking at the world that's been left to them, and they think, oh, this is terrible. Like, we've got, like, we have nothing. Like, our parents had something, our grandparents had something. We have nothing. So when you go back to like the noughties and 90s, all the white artists that grew up then are making music now, there's kind of a disconnect between them kids, because they're not really feeling the same level of pain. So kids now, as much as like the struggle of like what black artists went through when they were growing up in the 90s and noughties, as much as that doesn't really relate to what a lot of these kids are going through, like you said, that boy was from quite a nice area, Reading, it feels to them a little bit closer to what they're going through, more so than like, I don't know, like the 1975 or whoever's making music now. I don't really for that kind of music. So like these kids are kind of looking to a culture that maybe they don't really understand, a little bit in a sense. And I think that's, in that sense, music does influence you. That's why kids are like wearing tech fleeces and Air Maxes now, as opposed to whatever they was wearing back in the day. In terms of music influencing you to kill somebody, you to kill people, there's, you can't kill somebody unless it's within you to kill them.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's not, I doubt, yes, like anything you do, like, you know, when they were like saying, oh, Grand Theft Auto is leading to people being violent.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that was what was leading to people being violent.
Exactly.
That was within those kids not understanding the right from wrong, or they did understand it, but they just actively chose to make those decisions, because, like, we've all played games that you've, like, killed people on.
Yeah.
We haven't all turned killers, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's people's mindsets more than, you can't blame one thing for triggering someone to act like that, because, essentially, it wasn't any... I don't understand how you got to drill music anyways, because it was a girl that was pissed off with her boyfriend. But the people, like, I saw people drawing out the boys that were, like, well, the one boy that they found out who did it. But you haven't... No one said anything about the girl. Like, they haven't said, oh, she must have listened to drill music. They just haven't said anything about her. It's always like automatically like who's the easiest person to blame? Oh, we found this kid now in tech leases. Oh, that's how like black people in London or like black people dress. Pin it on them. But that's why I agree with you, Henry. I was a bit confused as to both of you actually. I'm a bit confused as how it's now black influencers that are now essentially accusing our whole like a whole culture of, because drill's meant to be, was well known that it's meant to be like sort of like black influences and stuff. So I don't quite understand how the second you've been told, oh, drill's bad, like it's been bad in the UK, you're the same people that champion drill, like, oh no, let it just be like, let people listen to this music. And now all of a sudden it's come to the terms where someone's killed someone, you're like, I'll blame drill for this.
Yeah.
So I think, it's just the inconsistency from like the black community as well, because you can't blame, like, we keep saying, like, oh, you can't blame like a small minority of people for what one person's done, essentially. But now the narrative fits for what you want to say and like get your likes and your retweets.
Mm.
You're now making that statement.
Yeah.
Now, I'd say it's quite interesting, obviously, in terms of austerity that that Mike kind of talked on just now. So I'd like to go back to that in just a second. I think, obviously, to make it in simple terms, why people have decided they want to use drills. Obviously, drill, if we're being honest here, like, I know we're not going to try and say it's the reason, but what he's listening to and thinks is obviously cool. Here is, obviously, you're a drill artist in this country as well, especially. The things they talk about in their music is kind of a reality for them, of course, and it's completely different. I think the way they talk about it, obviously you do get certain songs if any of you listen to drill yourselves, where they are kind of almost glorifying it, but in essence, what it is them kind of in music creatively expressing what their reality is. Clearly what he has done here, I think obviously you can't, I'd say obviously he tried to live, I think there was a Snapchat video of him, he was talking in a way and using words and that kind of thing in a way that you'd think possibly he has listened to that kind of music. But I think to say obviously he's, we obviously had a little kind of austerity and kind of what he feels his struggles are, Micah, maybe he's kind of felt his life, I don't know, and I just said it's if it's within someone to murder someone, and I guess possibly this kid may have had some issues before that we're not addressing. And I think to kind of go and take it to drill music automatically, I don't think that's fair. I think that's completely his own decision, and the friends of his decisions to do what they did. But yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. I'd say it's quite a tricky conversation to have, because I'm not gonna lie to you guys, I can see why people have gone to drill. Just because of the correlation between the way he was dressing and the way he was speaking. I think what people have seen of this kid from what they have seen, it does make sense why people have gone to that. But I think that's a bit of an uneducated way of kind of viewing the situation and kind of a way of blaming ourselves. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I think it's just oh, no, you go.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying a little bit. Going back to the thing you said about Akala, the thing is, it's about social indicators of violence, isn't it? And that's kind of what I was trying to get at a little bit in terms of the middle class now versus the middle class in the even 15, 20 years ago. Way worse off than it used to be. At that age, like I remember when I was 13, 14, anything that went wrong for me felt like the end of the world. Like it felt like the world was ending, when in reality, those problems are minuscule. And I think, I don't know, did I hear it right? The plan wasn't even to kill him, was it? It was just to teach him a lesson, wasn't it?
Cut his hand, I think they put in, I think she put in the the actual statement, like, I just wanted someone to like stab his hand, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's still a mad idea. I don't quite understand why that would be the first thing to come to your head. Yeah. Someone's pissed you off. Do you know what I mean? Like, if someone pissed me off, I'm not going to think, oh yeah, let me just get someone to stab him just to teach him a lesson. That's a mad thought in itself, do you know what I mean? Like, why is the 13-year-old even thinking like that, to be fair?
Yeah,
and that's why also I'm a bit like I think drill music is just the easiest thing to blame, but realistically he didn't get like, although I suppose he did go out to stab someone that day, like she was on that orchestrated the whole thing. If that is like, if everything that we've seen is true,
yeah,
like so you can't actually say, oh, because he listens to drill music, he decided to stab someone. Like he might have got more confidence from it, but yeah, I don't like, unless you speak to the kid himself and he says, oh, drill music influenced me, which even then you can take it as a pinch of salt. I think it's just the easiest thing to blame, because like I think in these situations people always look for something to blame.
Yeah.
And the easiest thing to blame here, like they can't find anything else to blame, because like what seems to be just a normal 13, 14 year olds, like what else can you blame? You can't say, oh, they had a bad school environment, because they probably didn't. you can't say, oh, they've had a hard life, because, well, I don't really know, like, obviously there's good parts and bad parts. It's meant to be a nice area, but do you know what I mean? Like, they could have been on a cancer state, like, properly struggling to eat and stuff.
But the thing is, throughout history, there's always been, like, instances of kids. They make movies about kids that are actually well off, that try, because they're well off, maybe because they're bored, maybe because all their friends are, they try and live a life. It happens in the black community too. I got black friends that grew up quite nicely, but just decided to get involved in a lifestyle that they don't need to get involved in. That's going to happen with drill, that's going to happen without drill. That's a societal problem,
right?
The problem we have in this country, I think, and this has really gone on since the Second World War, is that, like, we address surface issues, but we don't address the root of the problem. So we can sit here and debate all day whether drill's a good thing or a bad thing, or whether hip-hop's a good thing or a bad thing, or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, we're not attacking the root cause of people killing each other, which 99% of the reasons are poverty. I know in this case that's not the case, but if we're talking about drill being a violent genre and having violent lyrics, that's because these people grow up in areas where there's not much opportunity for them, and they're watching their mum work two jobs, and they're home alone, and they've got to take care of their younger brothers and sisters. So if somebody says to you, look, just sell this pound of cocaine for me, you're going to make this much amount of money, you're going to be able to feed your mum, you're going to be able to get yourself some nice trainers, you're going to be able to feed your little brothers and sister, of course they're going to do that. But I think people would rather be like, oh, this is violent, that's the wrong thing to do, instead of, how can we show these people the right thing to do? And that's just why I hate this. Every time this drill discussion comes up, I hate that we talk about how violent the lyrics are, instead of, like, why the lyrics are so violent. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
Absolutely. No, I understand that completely as well. Obviously, that kind of goes back to, I think, the austerity that you were talking about as well. I think it's probably got worse over the last, 10 to 12 years, obviously, because of kind of the amount of cuts, social cuts as well, with kind of help for more disadvantaged people, both black and white, in this country. But yeah, I wouldn't, obviously, withdraw. You can't, as I said earlier, it's an expression of people's realities. As you said, some people don't have the choice to do the things that they're doing. That's why I guess it's very hard to understand why you can say, especially in this case, why drill would be a factor. And if his guy really is from a nice area, I guess, and he hasn't, I guess, struggled and that conversation, and why are we using drill to kind of, if because drill surely can't be the only influence in that guy's life. Surely there must be, school, parents, other hobbies he must have. This is kind of a subject or a topic I kind of wanted to branch out into in just a moment's time. But obviously, you see people in areas like myself in Kent, where I guess kids are trying to live, as you said, Mike, they're choosing, both white and black, to live a life that they weren't brought up on. So that'll be an interesting one to go into a second. But yeah, in terms of this kid, obviously, the austerity that we've seen over the last 10 years, I can see why people are struggling more, maybe choosing to do things that they wouldn't normally, I guess this kid wouldn't normally do. We don't know if he's actually from that area. He might be from a more advantaged background in Reading. I don't think you can really say drill is the really reason for it. I find it kind of worrying that black people have kind of taken this upon themselves to kind of say that this is us that has done this, when it really kind of isn't a thing of us. I don't know why this has become a black issue. As if kind of, knife crime and blackness is somehow the same thing, or one of the same. That's why I would find worrying about this, and why we've decided to get involved in something that's not really, when at the root of this is a problem technically for white people.
Yeah, I was going to say, I find it a bit weird, because, like, I don't know about, like, the news you guys are watching, but, like, on the news, it made all, like, the local news is, obviously, for Reading, I was like, I get why it would, because obviously it's in Reading. But I even saw it on, like, national news, and I was thinking, not in a rude way, but I was like, had this happened in London, you lot probably wouldn't even have covered it. So why are you covering it now? But also, they didn't say anything about, like, any of their roots or anything. They literally just said the basis of, like, I was stabbing. So I don't understand now why people are now, like, attributing it to one thing that they think. I think the real issue, like you said, Micah, is they need to, like, look at the deeper issues, like, what actually led the kids to do this? Why did they feel the need to do this? But also, I think they need to ask, why four people because what, there's five of them, I think. Like, why four people followed one girl's Snapchat? What, like, maybe they need to look into the social media and like what the kids getting taught at school. Like, why did they not see that was a weird thing for her to put? I mean, anyone, like, there's people that screenshotted it, so I suppose they must have seen that and thought, oh, that's weird, but didn't say anything. Like, I mean, if I saw that at 13, I probably wouldn't think anyone was going to carry out a threat, but, like, this girl's probably fucking weird. Probably should keep away from her.
Yeah.
But what led to four people thinking, oh, that's a good idea, we should probably go do that, oh, is it a bit of fun, do you know what I mean? Like, for all we know, they didn't actually go out to intend to kill him, like, they might have went to stab his hand and he moved and, like, hit him. I don't know where it happened, do you know what I mean? Like, but, yeah, like, I think the deep issues you need to figure out is what led the kids to do it, not, oh, is it drill? Because that's such a surface sort of reaction. Like, oh, we can see that drill's got bad lyrics. He's to blame it, but you haven't actually looked at, like, what in his, like, home life is there a problem in his home life? Like, why is he thinking like that? Is he doing it under peer pressure? Do you know what I mean? Like, I think there's much deeper roots that they need to look at that they people are now, like, trying to just pass off as, like, oh, it must be drill. And I think.
But do you know what's sad? Yeah.
No, I carry on.
No, I was going to say, do you know what's sad? We're having a conversation about the deeper roots for a 13-year-old white kid, but when it's a 13-year-old black kid, why are we not?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's this is what really kind of annoys me about this. Why are we having this conversation? This is what happens in the news as well. When in America and in the UK, we kind of try and explain the actions of white people in a sense where we're trying to explain, oh, maybe had this going on, when it's a black kid doing this.
Yeah.
He's just a fuck. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? This is what his life. I mean, this is almost his calling in life to do this. We didn't expect anything less. Whereas a white kid's like, why does he do this? Let's kind of dissect why he's done this. You know what I'm saying? It's a bit kind of, that's what, when we've kind of bought into that narrative, I think, as well, and what obviously we kind of talked about from the start with the way that I feel like the black community have almost taken ownership of this action, kind of been, oh, it's drill music, da, da, da. Why are we dissecting this? Why is he not just a bug? Do you know what I mean? Why is he not, do you know what I mean?
In essence, before we know, he could have literally been listening to Dolly Parton, so it doesn't make, do you know what I mean? It doesn't fucking, it doesn't make a difference what music you're listening to. If you're within you to kill, you're going to kill, innit?
What surprised me as well about the fact that it went to drill is because it was about him sending nudes to another girl, wasn't it? Or something like that.
Yeah, it really wasn't.
No, I think it was her sending the nudes, isn't it? The way I read it.
I don't even know what it was.
The way I read it was her that sent the nudes and he like got angry with her sending nudes or something.
I don't even know what it was. Yeah, I know somebody was sending nudes. But I'm surprised it went there because, like, normally the TL loves discussing, like, sexual lyrics and sexually explicit lyrics and how that affects children.
Yeah.
I think surely that's more like applicable here than drill, surely. Like, I don't know, I might be wrong, but the whole conversation was just strange to me. When I saw it today, I was so confused.
Yeah, it just amazed me.
Okay. On that, I wanted to speak quickly kind of on, we kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but the fetishization of kind of inner city culture in more suburban areas and kind of how I think this kind of applies to this kid as well. It must do really, because if what they're saying is he was influenced by a drill, I guess, how does that kind of affect the way, I guess, people view, I guess, black kids in inner cities or black people in general, I guess. If I feel, because I did this for my dissertation as well, where I was kind of looking at kind of, you see the Night London ad from back in 2016, maybe. Although I think it's a celebration of inner city culture, I think I was questioning the way Nike used it to kind of almost, it was pretty much predominantly black, right? In terms of who was the kind of celebrities, the music artists, the footballers, etc. I kind of questioned how Nike used that to kind of portray almost black people. And I think the knock-on effect of that, it kind of, to me, the way, I guess, suburban white kids like the kid that kill, I think they think it's cool, but I don't think necessarily kind of want to be a part of that. Well, this kid obviously kind of, if we're blaming on drill, apparently he did. But I guess, what do you guys think on how, I guess, we are portrayed as a people, especially in inner city culture, and how do you think that affects people's perceptions of us as black people, but also how does it affect them, I guess? As you said, Michael, with the way you went to a predominantly white school, so did I myself, how with fashion, I guess, how is that kind of,
this is always an interesting discussion for me because, like I said, I went to a very white school. I have quite a lot of views on this topic, and it's probably going to take me a while for me to like gather them all together and like give you a coherent answer. But I think the lens that white people, especially white people that aren't from major cities, the lens that white people kind of look at black people with is very thin. Part of the reason for that is the movies, part of the reason for that is the music, part of the reason for that is what they see on the news. But I'll give you an example. I remember one time I was in school, and bear in mind, I think I was in like year 8 or 9. I was probably the same age as that kid, actually, the other kid.
Yeah.
I remember this one kid, I'm not going to say his name, but I remember his name. He goes to me, "Oh, you're not very black, are you?" And I was like, "What does that mean?" And he was like, "Yeah, you don't really like sell drugs and you don't like stab people." And like he said that like dead, like he was being dead serious when he said that, like he wasn't joking, there was no smirk on his face or nothing. And at the time, I remember like being really like, the comment like really like it rocked me. I was rattled because I was like, because at that age, you're still working yourself out a little bit, and it can be quite hard to like be comfortable in your blackness in a very like white school where you kind of feel like you're on the defense every single day.
Yeah.
So that comment rocked me, and I was like, oh, maybe I need to be like more, like I need to be like, I put myself about more, be more like aggressive, blah, 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 blah. Like, but not realizing at the time, like I'm probably the only black person like this guy sees on a regular basis. No. Like he has the only black people this guy sees is in TV, on movies, music, whatever. So the lens that they look at us with, and I think this is why people say representation matters, is very, very thin. And the problem is that trickles down. I think, I don't know if you're trying to get to the point about why some people that aren't from like that lifestyle go into that lifestyle. I think that's part of the reason. I think because that very narrow lens which black people looked at trickles down, I think maybe like black kids that are well off go to school and kids say to them, "Oh, you're not very black, you don't sell drugs, you know, you're not stabbing people, you're not shooting, blah blah blah," and they're like, "Oh, okay, rah, maybe I do need to be doing that, maybe to be black I do need to do that, maybe I'm gonna go into this lifestyle, maybe I'm just gonna start shooting a little bit of grey, maybe I'm gonna start shooting a little bit of white, whatever." Do you know what I mean? Before they even realize that actually they don't have to do this, you're trying to like impress people that have absolutely no idea about you or your culture. So I went on a little bit of a tangent there, but that's kind of like the sort of negative effects of such a narrow lens, especially in this country.
I guess that in essence was what I was trying to get at. I think as well with you see the fetishization, I think more kind of aspect. Obviously, I think that obviously that's from a kind of a black perspective of how do we feel we should behave. But the way we are portrayed, it's more time it is through kind of inner city lifestyle, I guess, because that it's exciting to people. So with things like Top Boy, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying that is kind of in this country, I'd probably say. How many movies or TV series do we really have that aren't centered around the struggle? I think going back to this, I do feel in a sense, I'm not going to lie to you guys, I do feel in a sense, this guy was trying to, this white kid from Reading who was trying to behave as he thought it was to be hood. Do you get what I'm saying? But that doesn't necessarily, blackness and hood is not synonymous. I'm just saying that he's obviously grown up thinking that black people are cool, but not in a cool way that I'd say, it should be in a way that he thinks that we are possibly...
it's not a positive dangerous. Way he thinks you're cool.
A positive way, but to him, it's dangerous, it's exciting, it is the fetishization that I'm talking about here, and the way that this kid at your school, Micah, thought you of as because of what he's seen. So I guess it's quite a difficult kind of way for me to wrap it up in terms of what I'm trying to get at here. But it's more kind of, obviously because of the way we are fetishized, I feel like that affects... I would say it affects, it's more important to see how it affects other black kids, but I think it's quite worrying that the way obviously the narrative is being played, that's a kind of the way what's happened in Reading has been it's something to do with being black or blackness. I think it's quite worrying that I guess that's what society's view of us is as a result of the way we are viewed in terms of it's cool to be fashionable and like a black person, it's cool to listen to black people's music, but it's not cool know what I mean? When it's a white kid, all we're explaining his bad doings, and we're explaining this, that, and the other. So yeah, I don't know how to kind of, you know, kind of explain fully what I'm trying to say here, but if you get it, then
no, I get it. Yeah. No, yeah. I don't know. I just think this one in Reading's a bit weird, though, isn't it? Because like no one other than black people have I seen put anything to any culture other than like all I've seen people saying is like this is literally like ridiculous. Why are these kids this age doing it? Not anything to do with like a different culture. They haven't said like, oh, black culture's influenced it. I think it's just well known. Like popular culture is generally normally black culture. And the only time they highlight it is when they want to highlight the negatives. They won't highlight the positives of, like, if there's a black Olympian doing well, they won't be like, oh, they've made kids want to go to and do, like, athletics or, like, rowing or anything. They won't say any of that. But when it comes to, like, a bad thing, it's just easy to be like, oh, well, let's blame popular culture, which just happens to be, that is generally black culture, that is the popular culture. So I think this one in Reading, yeah, I think it's a bit weird because it's only black people I've seen say this. Like, you guys might have seen other people say it, but I've only seen black people say it. So I would say for the most part, I don't want to say it hasn't, but for the most part, I don't think it's changed white people's view on us. Like, I think generally black people get a negative view from most other cultures anyways, just because we've always just been the easiest scapegoat. When there's like a violent crime, they're easily blaming black people. Forgetting before the black people even like came to this country in masses, they had people like the Cray twins and stuff that were already on violence and credit that. Do you know what I mean? Like, but it's easy. Who's the easiest to blame? Because generally you don't want, like, you always hear black on black crime, but you never want to hear that it's your people doing bad. And obviously, we live in a predominantly white country. Who's the easiest person to blame? That's not white, the blacks. So you're easy to blame it. So, yeah, for me, I don't think this stabbing actually changed people's views on black people because the only people I've heard attribute it to anything that's related around black people are black people themselves. So if anything, it's changed black people's views on ourselves. Like, to be fair, yeah, I don't think drill's always the best music. However, I'll still listen to it, but I'm not going to be going out there tomorrow and acting like what I'm hearing on the drill. Right? Do you know what I mean? Like, I think, obviously, with age, you can listen to things, just like, common sense tells me I'm not going to do that. It's the dumbest thing. Like, if I saw someone get arrested for that, I'd be like, you're a fucking idiot. Yeah. That's your own beef. I'm not going to do it, but like, I might like the music that just
it's funny
sounds
what
good.
You said about...
So I don't think
it's funny what you said about like the Cray twins and violence and stuff. Because when they did, just back to like the lens they look at us with, it's funny because like the countries that we come from, how did they think like these countries were functioning? Like if they think we're like only like low life criminals and stuff. Like I'm from Jamaica. What do they think? We don't have doctors in Jamaica. We don't have scientists and stuff. Yeah. I know, Henry, I know you're from Nigeria. Yeah. Nigeria is like the fifth biggest economy in the world. Do they think like that just happened by accident? Like, I don't know. I always find that really funny when this stuff comes up.
And I think, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's just weird how, like British culture especially forget how they always go on about the British Empire, but they forget how they got that British Empire. Like, they were definitely the most violent people. So you can't then pretend like this violence only just come now that immigrants have come to the country. Like, it was within you. When you went to other countries and did it,
I wouldn't say they forget. I would actually say it's a result of the education system. To be honest, the way obviously we've all been brought up being educated in this country, the curriculum that we're taught doesn't really focus on the negative aspects of colonialism, does it really? So I wouldn't actually say, to be honest with that. I would say probably we're meant, you know, in terms of the way, especially white people are conditioned, because obviously as someone, if you're from kind of a background that's non-white, you would be taught by your parents or somehow you'd be interested in probably finding out a little bit more about the realities of British colonies and that kind of thing. But in terms of your average white kid, he's exactly where he's meant to be in terms of how he views this country, because he's been taught to be about the world wars and how, yeah, we were. We rule, Britannia ruled the world, that kind of thing, and it's separated. It's not. If they knew the realities, then the chances are a lot of things that we see in this country in terms of like nationalism and that kind of thing, they wouldn't exist. But because they're exactly where they're meant to be in terms of what the government probably wants
to think. I would agree with that to some extent, though. But I think, yeah, there's a point where you don't even need education to realize. You don't go to, like, you learn about the world wars and the reasons why it was because other people were going to other people's countries trying to try and take it over. So how can you not, like, for me, it's basic. Like, it is them just choosing generally to ignore it because you can't see why Hitler trying to take over different countries is a problem, but then justify your country was going to another country to make it civilised. I think British people, like, I saw one thing, to be fair, it was a while back, but it was actually Irish people. And they were saying, like, oh, yeah, in Ireland, we've accepted, like, we've done some disgusting things. But however, British people, it's not in their culture to accept that they've done bad things. They always look at other people and be like, well, let's highlight that. Even, like, with coronavirus, which is such a weird thing to say, but you see how, like, at the beginning of it, they kept highlighting, like, how bad China was, then how bad Italy was. Then, like, Britain really started struggling. Yeah. And all of a sudden, it went quiet. They were like, oh, shit, we're generally doing the worst out of everyone. Let's not say anything. And then quickly America, then Brazil. They're like, oh, cool. Yeah. Someone else, quickly, let's turn their attention to that. I think it's just British culture to quickly turn your attention to see, oh, actually, someone else is doing worse. So I think that's, again, why black people, black British people are now quick to say, like, oh, let's blame something quickly, because that's just British culture. Like, it's like, oh, actually, that's disgusting, but the worst part about it is, oh, someone else influenced him. You don't want to, like, just give them the credit what they've done.
Yeah, I see what you're saying with that, the point about, like, Hitler, but I think there's genuinely something within the British psyche that they are, like, the most righteous people. And I think over the years, that's gone a little bit. But even some of the music, like that, if you guys like listen to like the Rule Britannia, like the actual lyrics to that Rule Britannia song, like Rule Britannia, Britannia rules the way. It's like, I think there's genuinely something within the British population, and I think it's kind of come to a fore a little bit with how people have just behaved in terms of coronavirus and lockdowns. That there's like a genuine righteousness that like whatever Britain does is right. I saw a long time ago on a Twitter thread, someone was talking about like the evil effects of colonialism. And there was this guy, you know what type of guy I mean, like no Avi, like really weird username, most probably like a 50-year-old guy that drinks Stella Artois. He was like, Britain did all that stuff when colonialism was the thing to do. We were just best at it, which is like, how can you say, can you imagine if a German person was like, oh, you know, the Nazis just took over countries when that was the thing to do. Germany was just best at it. Like, they'd be British people would kill them. British people would like, they literally would, it'd be World War III. They're like, you can't say that. And, but it's okay for Britain to say that. And I think that's because it's generally like, accepted a little bit in this country that, you know, Britain did things wrong, but they did it the right way, if that makes sense. I don't really know, but it's just frustrating.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of trying to get at. It was like, I think, the way you put it, I think similar to what I was saying, is like, that it's their refusal to accept that they're in the wrong at any time. They'll always find a justification for it. However, they won't let anyone else have that same justification. Okay. So, like you said, it's like the righteousness that no matter what we do, we're very right. Yeah. Like, we're always right. Like, we're still there.
Yeah, but that comes from, as I said, it comes from the education system. Like, I know, obviously, I think we come from a place where we wanted to learn other things. And I know you said at a certain point, you kind of have to look a bit deeper. But let's be honest here, like, a lot of your average white British person, they don't want to look deeper. They don't really care. They're happy. They're happy with their memorial. I can't remember what it's called. It's not Memorial Day. Remembrance Day. Yeah, they're happy with that. They're very, very proud because obviously a lot of them, their grandfather or their great grandfather would have fought in this, and to them, that's important. Okay, cool. In the World Wars, there's actually a very dark underbelly to the reasons why Britain got involved in that in the first place, and you actually read into what Churchill, what he was like as a person, you probably wouldn't have the same views. But of course, not going to teach that because they want to keep kind of that nationalistic, that pride about. The same with the colonialism. I don't see why. I know there's, as we've spoken about here, they don't want to accept, but they're not. Why would you want to accept that if you've been told this all your life? Like, why? I completely understand from their point of view, I guess, why they wouldn't want to learn this. Obviously, for us, we're like, well, fuck you lot, but do you know what I mean? Like, it's a completely different story. People that have been brought up and conditioned to think. I think we forget about conditioning a lot. You see the way in the US, they have to stand up and sing the national anthem every day. Cool. There's things like that, little things like that. You don't think it really means a lot, but I think when you do it every day and you learn about how great your country is, it really does kind of have an effect on the national view. Absolutely.
And I think the best example of that is, you know, when you see people from the UK and the US, black people from the UK and the US just arguing. It's like, it's Clubhouse stuff. It's funny, isn't it? Because I think it's interesting because Black British people and African Americans constantly talk about how much they hate their country, which rightly so. But yeah, it's funny seeing like how ingrained some of the attitudes, from both sides. Yeah. It's really interesting to watch. It'd be interesting if someone could do like a psychological study on that, because I would read it.
Do you know what I think it is? I think it's like,
yeah,
you know, when you go to like your school, you might hate your school. But if anyone else tells you your school's shit, you're like, nah. Because I think like the psychological behind it is like, if it's like, essentially, if you call something that I'm doing, like if you called my house shit, I'd be like, well, it's not shit, is it? Because essentially you're insulting me. So if you call my country, if you call Britain shit, I'd be like, well, it's not shit, because it's essentially I'm staying here. Like, I can call it shit because it's my country, do you know what I mean? Like, but now you're saying it, it's coming an insult because you're now saying like, the place I live is shit. Which, you know, I think it's generally like that, because I think anyone, even if they say they hate this country, would then ride out for it, because like, actually, you're telling me now that where I live is shit. Like, I might know it's shit, but I don't need you to tell me it, because now you're using it as an insult.
Yeah, but when you deep, like, what has gone on, especially in the US, and I find that even more deep, because when you actually read into kind of how recent the things have gone on in that country, especially with Black people, like slavery, and then segregation and all those kinds of things. When you, and even like say, is it Martin Luther King? King should be alive today. Yeah. I think he's not even that old. Like, do you know what I mean? That kind of, he's not even, he wouldn't have been that old. It's just crazy to me, as Micah said, like how they're so, when it becomes UK versus US, they suddenly become like, so defensive and proud of where they're from. And the same in this country, the things I'm sure all three of us have been through in terms of, I don't get involved in these conversations personally. I find it interesting to just kind of sit back and watch, but it does interest me kind of how we're almost like imposters. Stockholm.
But do you know what I will say for the Americans, Black Americans? I get why you'd ride out a bit more for your country. Like, it's a bit weirder for the British, because we all know like we have a different country. Like, most Black people in this country would be like, oh, I'm from like somewhere in Africa or somewhere in the Caribbean. I didn't actually realise until I heard Americans say, like, I hate... You know when, like, in Britain, people are like, oh, where are you actually from? To a Black person. You use exactly what they mean. It's not, like, I suppose it depends who it's coming from. It could be insulting. But do, like, Black Americans find that insulting, just, like, full stop, apparently, because obviously they don't know where they're from. Like, all they know is slavery. So I get why they would ride out a bit more for their country, because obviously they don't know any of their heritage. Like, as far as they know, like, 10 generations back, that's when their ancestors were brought from an African country to America. So, like, essentially that is the only country maybe 10 generations now. So, I get a bit more why they're right out for it, because they have no other, like, claim. Like, we can all claim a different heritage. I claim I'm from, like, the Caribbean. You claim you're from the Caribbean. You claim you're from, like, sort of Nigeria. All they know is that America was, like, they were taken from somewhere, but they have no clue where they were taken from. So I get a bit more why they would ride out a bit, because
that's a good point.
It essentially is their country. Like, that they have no other country. They don't know where they are. They can do the, obviously, spit in the tube thing, but let's be real, how 100% accurate is that? So all they know is America, and that's probably all they will ever know, sadly. So I get a bit worried.
Yeah, that's a really good point as well, because I think as well, for a lot of us, for Black Britons anyway, essentially our culture is kind of just like a huge like amalgamation of like West Indian and West African, and in some cases East African culture. Whereas Black Americans kind of just had to build their own culture from the ground for 250 odd years. So yeah, that's a good point actually. I never thought of it like that.
And to be fair, like, even going back to like our topic, I don't really have Clubhouse, but I listened to like my sister, and there was literally like an argument between Black Americans by saying, oh, Black British can't say niggers because they're not niggers. Yeah. Like, obviously it was all like a joke in it, but like the whole room was sickly set up as a joke. But like, I saw British people jumping on there. They were like, so bad. But basically, getting people to clean themselves. So they're like, oh, if you want to stay in this chat, you need to sing for us. So like, Black British people going on there singing. They're like, oh, either rap a Black American song or like sing a Black American song. So they were like cussing them and shit. But like, it's a bit like how we were saying that guy, what he thought he had to do. Like, if he did do that stabbing because he thought he had to fit in. Like, it's no different from British people. Like, obviously, in the sense of like what they're doing is completely different. But like, British people 100% sometimes seek approval from the Americans, like the Black Americans, because a lot of, we look up to their culture as well. Just like, although they would never admit, they look up to the Caribbean culture, they look up to British culture, they would never admit that.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? Like, British people equally do stuff that, like, we have no reason to be wearing Jordans because, like, realistically, basketball culture isn't anything to do with Britain. But we see Americans do it, we do it. So it's, but you can't exactly blame everything on the American. You can't blame that on, like, generally what they'll do is blame that on hip hop culture, which is normally like the culture that makes things big, like the Birkin bag all of a sudden getting big because of hip hop culture. But you can't completely blame it on that. That's just people who we look up to that influence us. So you can't automatically blame like a stabbing or anything, like anything bad on that person, because essentially there's a lot more that goes into that. Yeah. That's just sort of like the light thing.
I've got one more question.
Yeah.
I've got one question on that. Like, obviously what you said, like question, obviously I don't want to kind of get carry this on too long. If the kid from Reading looks up to Digger D, for example, would you say, does that then become a problem, or does that,
do you
know what I'm saying? Or do you get what I'm coming from? As you said, does that become something that we should be aware of? Or?
Well, it depends how you're looking up to him. Do you know what I mean? Like,
okay, so no, I'm not saying now Digger
D's not over
at all, but obviously what he makes music about could potentially, I wouldn't say influence necessarily, but it does talk about certain things that maybe this guy found now. He wants to behave like that because what he's seen his idol, I don't know if it's his idol or what, talk about now.
But then,
because
you can look up to people that don't always do the best things. Like, even Digger D, he made a whole documentary on BBC saying, like, I can't remember what it was called, but it's like, Digger D's not a bad person. So you can't just look up to one person, you can't just look up to him and then not look at all, like, idolize everything about him. Like, he's made a whole statement, like, a lot of drill artists be like, oh yeah, I never want to go back to jail in their tracks anyways. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not, like, it's the part, like, if he does look up to Digger D and he's chosen to look at the parts, only the negative parts. Do you know what I mean? Like, someone can influence you, but it doesn't mean you have to do everything they do. So I don't think, it doesn't matter. I feel like you can idolize anyone, but you just need to understand, there's still right from wrong. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can idolize Digger D, but I can understand why he went to prison. Like, he shouldn't have done what he did to go to prison. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think, it's just natural human nature to be selective on what, like, at the back of your mind, you always know there's something wrong. Like, I don't idolize anyone that's gone to prison, but, like, I might, like, idolize, like, their whole journey going to prison, but I might, I might like the music. Like, I might idolize Digger D's music because I like how good he's, like, how he raps and, like, what he raps about might be real for him, but it doesn't mean I now need to go do what he's doing.
Is it,
like,
interesting
that comes
point
down to
it's a really your interesting personal point, because oftentimes you hear white people saying that that these young black kids, like, they need role models, they need people in their community. I think a lot of these younger white kids maybe look up to people like Digger D or somebody like Millions or whoever it is they're listening to, because they actually maybe don't have role models that understand what they're going through. So it's quite funny that the world's I heard Dave Chappelle talking about, he said something about you don't know how to survive yourselves, about white people, and what he was trying to get at is that now the establishment is essentially, of course, it's still oppressing black people and women and gay people and whatnot, but now it's essentially like turned on almost everybody that's not part of a certain threshold of money in the white community. And he was essentially saying, you don't know how to survive yourselves. We've been doing it for 200 odd years. Yeah. And that's the problem. And now everything's switching. Now you have an opioid epidemic, like, as opposed to like the crack epidemic in the 80s. Now you have kids going out, killing each other. And now you have kids, funnily enough, that don't have role models that understand what they're going through. So I think we're about to enter a really, really interesting time in history now, because I think maybe you'll start to see a generation of white children that understand a little bit better than their parents what it is to genuinely be disadvantaged, be oppressed somewhat.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I was gonna say, no, that's interesting. Obviously, I don't, kind of trying to come to an end of this now, but obviously, would you say then, I guess potentially the kid had, if he doesn't have, say if he's from a single parent background, he doesn't maybe have a role model in his life to look up to in that sense. Would you say, so it could potentially be not Drill's fault, but Drill Rapper, but nothing to do with race here, just purely the fact that he looks up to this as a role. Do you know what I'm saying? So as you said, it could become interesting as you said, white people, I guess they don't know how to struggle. Would it become a case, as you said, younger white kids growing up now that their idols might not be their idols because they're black, they might be their idols because they're their idols. Do you get what I'm saying? And they might also count if there's a Chinese rapper that blows up and has, I don't know, a young black kid looking up to him, does that now make it Chinese? Do you get what I'm saying? Obviously, I know the narrative has been spun kind of to go towards black people, and that's a very common topic here when it's a black person suddenly thuggery. But in future, I think it could just be a case of that. It's generally, as Micah said, because everyone's now probably struggling more. Because that is simply, regardless of race, who you just look up
to. I think, like you were saying, I don't think, like I said, they blame black people because I think they blame whatever's popular in culture. So, say, for instance, there was something that was Chinese and it was popular in culture, it'd be easy to blame that because that's the popular culture. But just as it happens, more times out of 10, it is black culture. So I don't think, it's not going to make it. I don't think people generally blame racists. Like, a lot of the time when you think about it, it's not blaming the race. But obviously, like, they said drill music, they never actually said black people. Do you know what I mean? Like, even in that statement, just we've attributed the drill to black people.
We know drill music is.
Yeah, it might have originated black, but, like, he might listen to a white drill artist. He might even listen to white drill artists. Do you know what I mean? So, like, we've attributed it to that. So, like, because it's well known that black people sort of came up with that and they've made it popular in, like, popular for cultures and stuff, it's just easy to blame pop culture. So essentially saying drill, these things to blame is like, oh, you automatically assume psychologically, oh, it might be black people. So I think people just generally blame whatever's popular in culture at the time. And it just happens in the times that we're around, black people generally are the ones that are making the popular culture for whatever reason it might be, but it's just easy to blame whatever's popular in culture because that's the easiest thing to go for.
Nah, that makes sense. I'd say probably it's best to wrap it up here. We've gone quite well. Thank you, Mike, for coming on. That was a very interesting conversation to have. Definitely do this again sometime. Over the next few weeks, probably until kind of lockdown eases, we will be recording ways. So Micah, please feel free to join us again. Any other guests we have, please feel free to message me or Luke or the Instagram or Twitter account, whatever you want to do. Get involved, have a conversation with us. We'd love to hear from you guys. But that's been the On Record podcast. Thank you guys for listening. See you next week.